Hello, everyone. Let us get everyone in. We will get started. I am really, it's so funny. I'm really excited about the topic of this training call today. So today we're going to talk a lot about feelings and joy and overwhelm around the holiday season. And feelings are my jam. So that she can help me in the Q&A and in the chat. Coach Mish, you should be coming on up. So yeah, feelings are my jam. I really, really like talking about feelings. I think they are so important for us to recognize and understand where they come from so that, so that we can either lean into them or figure out what we need to do to, I don't know. I don't know if you change a feeling or if you just kind of, just kind of deal with the feeling, understand it, and see if you can update what's going on. So anyway, we're going to talk about joy and overwhelm, which are feelings and which are most times created by what you're thinking. So I'll give you an example. I have a December birthday. So this time of year has always resulted in joy for me because I think it's my special time of year. Everyone decorates for my birthday. I know that's not true, but I like to tell myself it is. I love giving. I love receiving. Who doesn't love to get a present, right? So I have all these lush, amazing thoughts about the holiday season. We get together as a family. I love having my whole family together, even though we call it Hartman chaos. We got the six grandkids, all the, the sons, the daughter-in-laws, the aunts and uncles, everybody gets together. It's loud, it's raucous, it's loving, it's amazing. So I have all these abundant feelings about the holidays. But on the flip side, we have overwhelm. Raise your hand if you've ever felt overwhelmed at the holidays. My hand is up because I get those feelings too. I have so much to do. There's so much going on. There's so much noise in my house. All of this can help, can lead to me feeling overwhelmed. So, which side of the spectrum do we want to fall on? Do we want to stay in the overwhelm, or do we want to acknowledge it, figure out what to do with it, so that we can kind of move back over to the joy side? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I have a special surprise for you at the end. At the end of my talk, I'm going to give you 10 reasons or 10, sorry, 10 ways to create joy in the holidays. So stay tuned, okay? We're going to talk in concept first, then I'm going to give you all the things. So remember, this is the third week in our new monthly focus of holiday weight loss. If you are just joining after attending Corinne's workshop, make sure your focus is on completing No BS first. The No BS weight loss course is the basis for everything else you learn here in No BS. These Q&As are extra and the replays are always here. So if you find what I'm talking about, like out here in left field somewhere, just go ahead, sign off, go back to No BS and pick this up when you're done, okay? Save the date, y'all, for Sunday, December 29th, 10 a.m. for our New Year's workshop. Go ahead and put it on your calendar. Corinne's going to be amazing. She always, y'all, isn't Corinne always amazing? I mean, seriously. She always seems to know what's going on in our heads so that we can make the new year amazing, not only in life, in weight loss and relationships and all the things. Okay. So finding joy instead of overwhelm. Finding joy in the holidays is about remembering what they mean to you. Okay. The holidays, seem like they're about spending money, parties, events, kids, and maybe they are, but you get to decide how you show up, what you're thinking about the present buying, the parties, the events, the noisy kids in your house, right? It's all about the intentional thoughts that you decide to think when all these things are going on. Because let's be honest, if we leave our brains to themselves, what are they going to do? They're going to give us all the problems, yakety, 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 because our bodies are always scanning for the danger, always looking for the problems. Think about the cavemen. Think about how we're always looking for, what's going to go wrong. We have to think intentionally about why we're happy, why we want to find joy, why we want to, ex what kind of experience we want to have at the holidays. So you decide how you want to show up and what you'll give energy to. That's part of how you create the joy, right? When it becomes an intentional decision, you say things like, I want to do this. I get to do this. This makes me happy. Right? So, thinking about it in those terms, you decide how you want to show up and what you want to give energy to. One of the things that we like to suggest is that you have a phrase or a mantra that you can come back to that reminds you of what the holidays mean to you, or what this time means to you, or how you want to show up during the holidays, and then how you want to feel on January 1st. So, like, as you go through each day with your to-do list, your gift list, your party list, your food list, you might be thinking things like, this is my opportunity to give. I am loving the memories I'm creating today. I choose to define this season this way, as one that I enjoy, where I like to give, where I like to see my people, where I like to travel. I like to spend time by myself. You know what one of my joy things is for Christmas? Y'all are going to laugh. I love to sit in a dark room with only the Christmas tree on. Right? I mean, it's so peaceful. It's so calm. Then I have my parents' nativity scene underneath the Christmas tree, and I create the memories all, of having my grandkids help me put it out. And I have, y'all know I have six grandkids. They range from ages 10 down to ages 1. So the four older ones help me put out the nativity scene. And they're like picking stuff up out of the crate, and they're going, I hope I got Jesus. I hope I got the wise men. I hope I got a shepherd or a cow. It's really pretty fun, but those are the memories I create that give me joy. So think about what memories, what traditions do you lean into each year that make you happy? It could be just hanging a wreath on the front door. It could be putting out your snowman. It could be putting out your most beautiful menorah or your Advent wreath, whatever it is, or Thanksgiving, right? Who's got, turkeys and pumpkins and all mums and all that out? What brings you joy that you can lean into and remember and focus on that helps you with that? So we're back to mantras. I gave you some of mine. I want you to think about what you can think about the rest of the holiday season that helps you day to day. And then I also want you to think about future you on January 1st. What is she going to be proud of? What is she going to be happy about? What is she going to have learned through the holiday season? What if you were just sit down today and say, on January 1st, these are the things I want to be proud of. These are the things I will have done. These are the ways I will have shown up for myself. These are the things that happen that I want to learn from. Right? Think about you on January 1st and the person that you are, and then think about what does it take to get there. So that's sort of that mantra. On January 1st, Kathy wants to be someone who absolutely got every bit of joy and gratitude out of her holidays. Could be that easy. So what's yours? Okay, think about that. So you got two mantras to come up with. One about what you're going to think when things feel a little testy, and one about who you're going to be. Okay. Now let's talk about overwhelm a little bit, because overwhelm comes from thoughts about what you should be doing. Who here has a holiday to-do list that's like, looks like Santa's gift list, right? You unroll the scroll and it goes all the way down to the floor. Why do you have that list? Let's talk about that first. Why does that list exist? Is it because it's things you should do? Is it things you want to do? Is it a list of things you are choosing to do? Is it a list of things you have to do? Think about how those phrases sound. Should always feels pressurized to me. I should be doing this. I should be doing this. And then I get this tense feeling in my body just because of that word should. But when I think I want to do this, my whole demeanor changes. It's like, this is something that I look forward to doing. I want to do, right? I'm choosing to do feels very empowering because that's a decision, right? That's a decision. I am choosing to host Thanksgiving dinner at my house. Nobody said I had to. Nobody said I should. Well, somebody probably did say I should. I'm the one with the double oven, but I can always say no. I can always say no. We're going down to the Golden Corral and eating off the Thanksgiving buffet. No, that's not what I choose to do. I choose to have everyone in the warmth of my house, even though it's going to create a massive amount of dishes and mess and flour everywhere. But that's part of it, right? That's okay. So think about that. When you're overwhelmed with your list of things, ask yourself, am I shooting myself? Are these things I want to do? Are these things I'm choosing to do? And if they're things you're choosing to do, make sure you like your reasons. Are you choosing because you think it's going to make somebody else happy? Or are you choosing it because this is what I want? This is, it's okay. It's okay to be supportive and create an atmosphere where people can be happy if they bring their happy thoughts with them. But let's not look for, let's not create that in hopes that they're going to respond to us. Okay, that's people pleasing. So, should, want, choose, have to. Okay, all in how you talk to yourself. Y'all know I'm a biggie on choosing the right words. So, make sure when you're thinking about your list, you're choosing the right words. That's one big solve for overwhelm. Another one is you get to decide if you actually do the stuff that's on the list. How about that, right? Just because it's on the list doesn't mean you have to do it. Christmas cards have been on my list for the past 10 years. I can't tell you the last time I wrote Christmas cards. I just can't. I mean, I love getting them. But when I look at the time that I have and how I'm choosing, see that word? Choosing to spend it, then Christmas cards isn't it. I'm choosing to spend it sitting in the dark with my Christmas tree, or wrapping gifts, or online shopping, or baking, creating the menu for Christmas. Sandy's going to help me with the Christmas cards. Thank you. Do you see what I'm saying? So that leads me to number three. When you have your list, prioritize it. How many of you have taken, is it, I can't remember the name of the course. Maybe it's in Big Ass Action, where Corinne talks about how to make your priorities easy, high impact, hard, high impact, easy, low impact, hard, low impact. Go through your list. How many of those things are easy and what kind of impact do they have? I know Christmas cards are easy. Just low on the list. Low on my priorities. So think about what are the easy things to do that are going to have the most impact, not for others, not just for others, but for you as well. Okay. So you want to have your list prioritized, and you want to think about back to what do you want to do that will help you enjoy the holidays? So high on my list, it's going to be grandkids' gifts. There is nothing better than watching a four-year-old open a Christmas gift. In fact, I highly recommend it. If you know any four-year-olds, go watch them open Christmas gifts because it is hilarious, right? So, grandkids' Christmas gifts are high on my list. Decorating my house is high on my list. Christmas cards are low. I just talked about that. I don't do a lot of Christmas baking either. A, I don't need to manage my mind around what's in the house. But I will have special desserts at special meals. Like on Christmas Eve, everyone will come here. We'll have, I don't know, two or three different kinds of desserts, and then I will send them all home with everyone who comes. Thankfully, Ken has an older brother and sister who live by themselves. I can send all the food home with them, and they will love it. So I don't do a lot of baking. It's not high on my priority list. Gift giving is high on my priority list. Showing up for myself is high on my priority list. So I have this great big long list, right, of things that I could possibly do. I'm not going to use the word should because that's pressurized for me. And then I pare the list down into what's manageable. Because here's the thing. The one resource that is available to us that we cannot renew or create is time. And that's going to bring me into number three in here in just a minute, or the next step of this in just a minute. But time is your most precious resource. So as you go through the holiday season, as you have a list of things to do, a list of parties to go to, a list of events, concerts, shopping, make sure you're spending your time in ways that nourish you, that support your joyful activities, right? So that's really important. And part of what you need to be spending your time on is your own self-care. Because during this time, during this holiday season, if you're busy, 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 and you're not taking care of you, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be grab-assing food. You're going to be baking and licking your fingers and BLTs, bites, licks, tastes. Is your head going to be a mess because you're thinking about, I should be doing this, I should be doing this, I should be doing this, rather than this is what I'm choosing? Self-care can happen in the micro moments. And self-care is really, really important because if you think about the stress level during the holidays, if you're a person whose energy level goes up, your stress level goes up, you need to find ways to bring it down intentionally so that you don't eat through the holidays to de-stress or drink through the holidays to de-stress. Don't get hosed thinking that you have no time for yourself. You do. It is you choosing where you spend your time. Okay? Let's say that again. Don't get hosed thinking you don't have time for yourself during the holidays. You choose every minute and everything that goes in every minute, how you spend your time. If you say, I don't have time for me, you've probably on the back end of that got a bunch of shoulds going on rather than want tos or choose tos. Because think about it. If I'm, what is one of my Christmas activities? Decorating. Okay. I'm decorating for Christmas. I can look at that as a job, like putting up a Christmas tree. I can look at that as a job, or I can look at that as I am choosing to spend my time on this Saturday putting up my Christmas tree because it brings me so much joy. Because I love seeing all the colors on my tree. I have one of those trees, y'all, that has the bulbs and has the little target ornaments. But I think I have just about every ornament my kids made when they went through school. My kids are in their 30s. So my tree looks like this eclectic, beautiful mess of ornaments. And I love it. I love it. I love pulling out the ornaments and going, oh, do you remember when Jason made this in the first grade? So, I don't have one of those beautifully curated trees, like you'd see at Macy's or something. I have a beautifully curated Hartman Christmas tree. And so I can look at it as an overwhelming job to put the ornaments on the tree, or I can decide it's something that makes me happy and brings me joy. If you are easily overwhelmed by things that need to get done, plan a list of doable micro self-care that you can do when you are time strapped. And I'm going to take this one step further and tell you to put it on your calendar. If you are a calendar-driven person like I am, I got my calendar up right now, and it says right now I'm in the membership Q&A call. At 8 o'clock this morning, it said I'm riding my exercise bike, because I need to keep these knees lubed up, my new knees lubed up. Put little 15-minute appointments with yourself on your calendar. And it could be, just to, I know it's cold outside for a lot of us, but just to step outside for 15 minutes and feel the sun on your face. It could be to just sit back in your chair and breathe a little bit. Hand on your heart. Nice deep breath. Breathe a little bit. Bring your energy down. It could be breathing in the car before you go inside the Target or the Walmart. It could be playing a game on your phone before you go to bed. Now, I know that's not the best thing for sleep, but sometimes we just need to bring our energy level down a little bit, create focus. It could be you could decide you're going to do my favorite bedtime meditation is laying in bed and going through the alphabet A to Z, things I'm grateful for. I don't know why, but A is always avocados. I need to come up with something else for A, like, I don't know, angels, or if I had a Angie, I could say Angie. She's my sister-in-law, and I'm very grateful for her. I've never made it through the whole alphabet because it just settles me so much. Okay. What else can you do? Listen to music. Do y'all like holiday music? Do you like holiday movies? I watched a when I ride my bike, I take my iPad downstairs, and I have Netflix on my iPad. So I watched over three different bike rides. I watched a silly Hallmark movie. I mean, but really, Hallmark, let me tell you the best thing about Hallmark movies is they always have happy endings. So why not, right? If I know I'm not going to be, like chased by a gunman in a movie like Die Hard, if I, just need something super easy to watch, it's a Hallmark movie and Netflix has them. So you can listen to music, watch a festive movie. One of my other favorites is what is that movie? Bill Murray's A Christmas Carol. Is it Christmas Carol? The Bill Murray version cracks me up. Connecting, always connecting with people, friends, Scrooged, that's it, thank you. Always connecting with people who you enjoy talking to, who you can unload to, safe people that feel safe to you to talk to. I'm not saying connect with that, the grouchy neighbor who's always, moaning and groaning about Christmas decorations. I'm saying connect to somebody who's, happy, who's doing things like you're doing for the holidays. So connect with your people, your family. And remember, your time, your choice. And maybe that's a mantra you can think about. My time, my choice. How I spend my time is what I choose to do. How about that? My time, my choice. Flipping around the notes. Let's see what I got on the back side here. Okay, easy ways to work toward joy. So I'm going to give you my 10 ways to work toward joy for the holiday season. And I'll talk about each one of them just a little bit, maybe even how I do it to give you some ideas. And I want you, as you think about these things and as you work on these things, I want you to take the time to acknowledge which ones make a difference for you. Because I have 10 of them here, and there might only be three or four that you are even interested in trying. And that's okay, because everybody's different. Everybody creates joy in different ways. Everybody thinks different thoughts, has different nervous systems, all the things. So here we go. Are you ready? Number one, we've talked about this one already. Practice gratitude. You can do the A to Z meditation. You can write on your journal every day something you're grateful for. I think there might be a place in the planner for it too. I like to do three things I'm grateful for. And I'm going to tell you, they don't have to be huge, hairy deal things like, I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for my job. They could be, I'm grateful that Coach Mish is here to help me on this call. I'm grateful for a straw in my water bottle because it makes it easy to drink. I'm grateful that my pen, my favorite pen, hasn't run out of ink. You know, they can be little bitty things too. And the more you practice gratitude, the more you think grateful thoughts. It's like you're putting the gratitude habit into your primal brain, into your habit center, so that you think about gratitude more often. So when you do it intentionally and you create that habit, guess what? It comes back and you think, you look outside and you say, oh my gosh, that tree is beautiful. I'm so grateful for the fall colors. See what I'm saying? So, number one, practice gratitude. Number two, surround yourself with people who uplift you. I talked about this a little bit too. Not the cranky neighbor down the street who fusses every year because it's cold and because people's Christmas decorations are all over his yard. Surround yourself with people who have the same mindset, the same, I don't know, demeanor. Or demeanor, or a mindset, or a demeanor that you want to level into. Okay? Those are your people during the holiday season. You know, the people that maybe it's, you know, maybe it's family, maybe it's your best friend, maybe it's your accountability group. You know, maybe you follow a certain Instagram feed because you find it so uplifting. Surround yourself with people who uplift you intentionally. You do these things on purpose, y'all. Because this is what creates joy on purpose. Number three, engage in proper self-care. We talked about this a little bit too. It doesn't have to be manis pedis. I mean, seriously, I don't get a pedicure in the wintertime anyway. Let my toes breathe because I'm not wearing sandals. If I were going to the beach, maybe. But maybe self-care is getting this most lush lotion you can find and lotioning up your body because your skin gets dry. Maybe it's climbing into your bed and pulling the covers all the way up to your chin while you watch that Hallmark Christmas movie. Maybe it's a nice warm blanket to snuggle into, or loving on your pet, or snuggling up close to your partner on the couch. Those are proper self-care. Proper self-care activities. Anything having to do with the five core pillars is also self-care that will help you reduce your nervous system. That's movement. Doesn't have to be like an hour and a half hike. It can be 10 minutes of walking around your house. Sunshine, this time of year, y'all, sunshine is so important, especially for those of us that, you know, live in the northern states and like Alaska and stuff might have, you know, just a few hours. Grab that sunshine when you can. So movement, sunshine, nutrients. Eat foods that make you feel good. If you eat candy all the time, do you really feel good? I mean, not only do you have the beat down because you've eaten a bunch of candy, but your body doesn't feel that good either. I mean, seriously, right? So I had movement, sunshine, nutrients, sleep, rest. Rest when you need to. What's the other one? Why do I always get stumped on my own five core pillars? Movement, sunshine, sleep, nutrients, connection. Connection is the fifth one. And that's connection to self. What do I need? What are my unmet needs? Why am I stressed? Connection to self, taking care of you. Connection to others. Connection to a higher power, if that is your thing. Connection to nature, being outside. Okay? Engage in proper self-care, number three. Number four, find meaningful ways to contribute. Now, this might not be for everyone. You know, if you're strapped, if you don't want to like spend a lot of money, charitable giving, that's fine. That's fine. But it's something I like to do every Christmas. I like to find that one place. I pick something new every year. I find that one place where I give just a little bit, you know, whether it's monetarily or a gift or something like an angel tree. This year, I have a friend who honors her son every year, who she lost several years ago, with a toy drive. So I had the best time. Go out on the Amazon, picking out some coloring books and some crayons and some sticker books and all that kind of stuff. Had Amazon box them up and ship them to the toy drive. That just fills my cup. And that's what we're looking for here. So find meaningful ways to contribute. And you know, it doesn't have to be charitable. You can contribute by, somebody said, a food bank, by, good deeds, anything like that. Right, number five, create habits and routines that give you a boost. So you may already have these, but you may not. So this is a time where you can look at, yeah, Jen donates to the Humane Society. I love it. Habits and routines. You can look at your morning routine. Is this supporting me right now as I go through the holidays? Answer might be yes. Or it might need a tweak as you go through the holidays because some of the schedule has changed or things have, there's something extra to do each morning or something like that. So make sure your morning and evening routines are supporting you through the holiday season. So in the morning, I always, this is where I do my gratitude practice, right? I always take my shower, put on what little makeup I wear, do my hair, get dressed, and I sit down and I would do my journaling, I do my planning, I read my little book, and I do my gratitude. And sometimes I will give myself a list of things that I want to get done. And that's with my future self in mind. When I go to bed tonight, she's going to want to know that I got A, B, and C finished. And she's going to feel really good and relieved that those things are passed. Okay? So make sure your habits and routines are supporting you during the holidays or giving you a boost during the holidays. Maybe you add holiday music to the room while you're getting ready every morning just to put you in the mood, if holiday music is your thing. All kinds of neat options. Okay. Number six, serve and give generously after you've cared for yourself first. So important. So we could lump yourself into this category where you serve yourself and give yourself things generously, time, compassion. Are we good at self-compassion at the holidays? We need to be, right? If we want to show up for everyone else, we need to be very self-compassionate, very self-aware. What's my nervous system like? Am I stressed out? Am I worried? Am I good? Do I need to come down? Do I need to come up? How am I showing up? How do I feel? Because in order for you to give generously and to serve generously, you have to start within yourself. So we're back to self-care first. And then what are your opportunities to do for others? Do you volunteer somewhere? Do you help set up the work Christmas party? Do you set up the angel tree at the community center? What is it that you do? What do you like doing at the holidays that is serving and giving generously? Number seven, so important. Be present, focus on small moments, and enjoy the journey. This takes me back to my parents' nativity scene. When they got married, they had a very good friend who gave them the first three pieces. So they had Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, and every Christmas, that same lady would send them another piece. So she might send them a shepherd, or she might send them a wise man. And I always, always loved that nativity scene. So when my mom died first, and when my dad died, he willed that to me. And so my every moment, my most precious moment during Christmas is having my grandkids help me unpack that. And it takes, I mean, seriously, when you're talking about a four-year-old, a seven-year-old, a nine-year-old and a 10-year-old, they're unpacking like this, right? They're throwing the paper. I have to go, okay, everybody, one at a time, settle down. But I create a moment for me and for them. And it lasts about 5 minutes. Let's just be honest. But it's that 5-minute moment that keeps me going, that gives me that joy in the Christmas season. So Where can you find those 5-minute moments through the holiday season that create that joy for you? Number eight, smile and laugh on purpose. Do you ever walk through Walmart or the grocery store and just look somebody in the eye and say, "Good morning," and smile at them? Some people don't know what to do when you do that. Some people smile right back. Some people are like, "Did she just smile at me?" It's a beautiful, generous thing to do to share that smile in the grocery store or at the Walmart or in the Target or wherever you are. And when you do that on purpose, not only are you experiencing that smile yourself, you're experiencing the generosity that you're giving someone through that smile, you're giving them the opportunity to experience it as well. And then when you laugh on purpose, it's the same thing. Y'all, don't ever suppress a laugh. Laughter is so regulating to your nervous system. It burns off energy, it helps you feel good. It's like one of those tonal things that you can do to relax your body. It is a beautiful gift that you give yourself. So make sure you smile and laugh on purpose. In fact, my husband, never suppress a laugh, right? Ken teaches yoga. A lot of you know that. And when he gets nervous about an upcoming class, he will laugh on purpose to settle himself down. He'll be like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha in the car. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm laughing out my energy. I'm like, okay. Laughter really is good medicine, Nancy. You're right. Because not only does it send a signal to our brain that we're happy, it releases some of that energy. So, yeah, smile and laugh on purpose. That's number eight. Number nine is invest in experiences. So, I think when we first see this, we think that, investing in an experience would be like taking a Christmas trip. And it could be. It could totally be like taking a Christmas trip, going to the Biltmore to see the decorations or to New York City or something like that. But it can also be investing your heart and your mind and your emotions in the gift giving or in the Christmas dinner or the Christmas church service, right? So investing means giving of yourself, giving of your energies into experiences. So instead of being the wallflower at Christmas dinner, what if you were to invest a little bit of yourself and a little bit of your emotion in the experience at the Christmas dinner? Become part of the group, part of the experience. So think about that. Where are you not investing in your holiday experiences? And where can you in a way that elicits joy for you? Number 10, celebrate everything, big and small, especially you. So we're back to our brains look for problems all the time. Our brain is always going to show us what we look like in the mirror, not in a favorable way, whether or not our clothes fit, whether or not we had an overeat. It's always going to highlight the things that didn't go as planned. You have to celebrate on purpose the things that did. I put on this sweater this morning. I was like, this is last year's sweater. I wonder if it even looks good. Hey, wait, I like this sweater. Who knew, right? So celebrate small everything, big things, small things, but especially you. If you went through Thanksgiving dinner and you overate by three or four bites, celebrate because you didn't overeat by 10. If you planned four glasses of wine for Thanksgiving Day and you drank four glasses of wine, celebrate, you stuck to plan. If you decided you were going to go walk a mile for every day for a week and you got 6 days in. Celebrate the 6 days. Sometimes we have to look for those little things. If you told yourself, "I'm really tired, I'm going to bed, it's 8:30," celebrate. Because guess what? That's self-care. You just did something really nice for yourself. It's so important for us to celebrate everything, big and small, especially what we do, because that trains our brains to look for the amazing things that we do for ourselves. Okay? So that was number 10. Go through all 10 again, real quick. Number one, practice gratitude. Number two, surround yourself with people who uplift you. Number three, engage in proper self-care. Number four, find meaningful ways to contribute. Number five, create habits and routines that give you a boost. Number six, serve and give generously after you've cared for yourself first. Number seven, be present. Focus on small moments. Enjoy the journey. Number eight, smile and laugh on purpose. Number nine, invest in experiences. And number 10, celebrate everything, big and small, especially you. Okay? All right. Last thing, final thoughts before I get to questions. I don't even know if there are any questions. Oh, good, there are a few. Sometimes joy is too big a leap. I can tell you. When I'm stressed at home or I'm upset about something, Ken will come in and he'll be like, "Oh, Kathy, find joy." And I want to punch him in the face. Really? I've got this and this and this and this going on, and you want me to find joy? No. Sometimes we need to level into joy, and that's okay. So, as I was thinking about this today, poor Ken, right? Ken is so happy all the time. It just really annoys me sometimes. So pulled out my handy dandy feelings wheel. Y'all seen this? It's on the website. I think it's even in the helpful worksheets. And I thought, what can I suggest as a way to bridge overwhelm to joy? And I came up with relaxed, satisfied, maybe supportive, maybe prepared. Figure out if you're having trouble finding joy, what is attainable? If you do these, if you practice these 10 things, what is attainable? If joy is attainable, I'm saying go for it, go all in, okay? But if it's not, maybe it's just relaxed, maybe it's content. Okay, so figure out if there's a bridge feeling that you need to access before you get to joy. But don't stop working on joy. Make sure it's out there. Make sure it's something that's attainable. Eventually, bridge your way, walk your way up that ladder into joy. Okay, so something that, a thought that might make me feel relaxed is, I got what I needed to get done today that was on my to-do list. I can breathe and know that I am okay. Kathy's so sweet that I'm dehydrated. Yeah, I don't use the F word, do I? Satisfied might be the same thing. I am satisfied with how my day went today. Supportive of whom? Of yourself? Of someone else? Think about that. What is, if you need a feeling to bridge into, check out the feelings wheel. See what works for you. Those are the ones that I picked out. So how we doing? Got a few more minutes. Let me get to the Q&A. One last thing about these 10 things. I challenge you to put one of those things on your plan to do every day between now and December 31st. Just one. Test them out. You might decide that your one every day is practicing gratitude. That's fine. You might decide that you're going to swap between gratitude and engaging in proper self-care. That's fine too. You might put all 10 on there on repeat. But I challenge you to make sure you're doing at least one of these things each day. And I would love to see in the Facebook group, I would love to see what you pick and how it uplifts you during your holiday season. All right, let's do some Q&A real quick. Mish, let's see what we got. I love number two, surround yourself with people who uplift you. However, at church on Sunday, the sermon was about reaching out and loving all, even those who irritate you. I'm thinking of that message since Sunday. How would you reconcile those two thoughts? I think you can do both. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, Anonymous, you can actually create a thought that helps you find support, content, even joy in reaching out to those people that irritate you. You know, you can surround that with lush thoughts of, this is what I'm called to do. This is what, you know, this is part of the giving that I'm doing during the Christmas season. So I see it as two different things. You know, it's easy to create joy surrounding yourself with people that uplift you. But what if you were able to create that feeling of giving, support, joy within yourself by reaching out and showing up exactly like you want to show up with someone who irritates you? It's your challenge. What do you think of that? Ah, she says, amazing response. That's exactly what I needed. Two thumbs up. Awesome. Okay. How do you reconcile the I used to do these things and now there is really no reason to do them? Like I used to make all sorts of treats and fun things to eat because we had a house full of people and kids, and now we don't, but I miss doing those things. So I have a couple of thoughts about this. I used to do a lot more at during the holiday season as well. And I tell myself, how do I want to say this? I ask myself, do I want to do these things? Yes or no, and why? So I'll say Christmas cookies, bake Christmas cookies for an example. I used to bake a lot of Christmas cookies, send them to the school, give them to the kids' music teachers, you know, all the things, right? And I was pretty good at it. I'd make these pretty little boxes, or I'd make fudge or something like that. And I don't have the need to do that anymore. My kids are in their 30s. They're obviously out of school. And I don't know that I necessarily want all that stuff around the house because then I'm going to eat it. And here you go, those of you who are dehydrated. My ass doesn't need it. Okay? You're welcome. Take a big drink. So I think the choice here for you, Carolyn, is to ask yourself, is that something I want to do? And what's the reason I want to do it? And do I like the reason? So maybe this year I'll make a dozen Christmas cookies just for Ken and me to share on Christmas Eve. Right? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'll create a new little tradition for us. We actually did this a couple of years ago. We used to go to brunch at Jason's house. He's got four grandkids. It's chaos. We have to work around all the church schedules, all of this, all of that. And we decided, you know what? Y'all just do brunch on your own. We'll do brunch on our own. So every year now, we make sausage balls. Do y'all remember that old Bisquick baking, that Bisquick recipe with the, all it is Bisquick, sausage, and cheese, I think, right? So we make a big batch of sausage balls, and that's what Ken and I have for breakfast with scrambled eggs. That's our thing. It's the only time I make sausage balls all year long. And he has to actually do it because it takes a lot of hand strength. So I guess my point here in answering your question is that something you want to keep doing? Remember that want and choose to keep doing? Or is it something that you think you should be doing. So question it kind of behind the scenes and decide what is it that you want, Carolyn, to make your holidays, feel to make you feel fulfilled during the holidays. Okay. I miss doing some of those old things too, but not so much. I don't miss baking tons and tons and tons of cookies. I just don't. I feel stressed. Lisa says, I feel stressed buying Christmas gifts for the adults. I'd like to only give gifts for the kids, but my sister insists that we still buy gifts for all the adults. I've asked if we could do a white elephant gift exchange. She said no. She loves giving and receiving gifts, but I don't. Every year, I do a lot of journaling about this. It takes a lot of time and effort to buy meaningful gifts for people, and I put pressure on myself. I feel selfish if I don't meet my sister's expectations. Wow. Okay. First of all, we're back to want, choose, and should, right? But even further than that, I'd really like to talk about I feel selfish if I don't meet my sister's expectations. You get to decide how you show up during the holiday season. You get to decide what you want to do, what you feel pressured about. And then, do you want to meet her expectations? If she were to say, everybody, we're jumping off the stratosphere for Christmas, that's my expectation, would you do that too? I would not. I'm not a jump off the stratosphere person. I'd be like, sister, you have fun. I will see you at brunch when you're done. That would be me. But when it comes to gifts for adults, how much pressure are you putting on yourself to find the perfect gift, to think of the perfect gift? Sometimes it's just about the giving, right? I know you don't want to like wrap up an orange in a walnut and give it to them. I mean, that's what I used to get in my stocking, right? But maybe it's I don't know. This goes back to kind of back to the gratitude list. I like to give of myself. So a lot of times I will tell my kids, I'm gifting you a date night. Here's, $100. Go get a nice dinner. I'm babysitting, in a movie. I'm babysitting. That's my gift to you. So maybe you think about what is a gift that you can give of yourself that feels meaningful to you as well. Beyond that, that's yeah, somebody says if you feel forced, just give a gift card. I mean, you can do that. There's lots of good suggestions in the chat for you, Lisa. But the big thing I see is the pressure you're putting on yourself to meet her expectations. That's your decision. If you want to meet her expectations, do it because that's what you want to do, not because that's what she wants you to do. Do you see the difference? Okay. Anything else? Oh, there's one more. I'm a bit frustrated that my adult children don't invite me for the holiday gatherings. I end up inviting myself to visit them and see the grandkids. I'm trying not to take it personally, but I wonder if I did something poorly in my parenting. Thoughts on how to find my joy here? I think you're doing it exactly right. My kids don't invite me either. But you know what? They don't tell me no when I invite myself. It could be, we don't know what they're thinking. I mean, we could just assume that they don't want to bother you. Maybe my kids are like, well, yeah, but she might not be up. They used to ask me, do you want to? They asked me one year, do you want to be here when the kids get up and see Santa Claus? I was like, absolutely not. That's too early. But I would like to come by and have a cup of coffee with you. So I got to set the rules. I got to set the, that's where I find my joy. I get to decide when I'm going to come, when I'm going to show up, what I'm going to bring with me. I get to, I choose to, rather than they should. And let's just be honest. There's something about, how do I say this? When my boys got married, I was so grateful that they were creating their own family because I'm not going to be here forever. And they're going to need their love and support system around them, just like I created with Ken. So if you lean into that kind of thinking, I'm so grateful that my adult kids have their people, their partners, their spouses, their kids, their friends. I know that they will be well supported if I'm not here to support them. So if you lead with that thought, then you come back in with, I get to choose when I am involved in Christmas chaos. Then that feels so much more empowered to me than they didn't invite me. Maybe they're waiting for you to invite yourself. Maybe they're accommodating you. Something to think about, right? Okay. I am so glad that we had this time. I just love these calls. I love talking to y'all. I appreciate everybody who came. I really, really hope that you work on making sure that you are enjoying the holiday season and not stressed over it. So stressed that you are, cramming ding dongs and Reese's Christmas trees in your mouth. Figure out how you can lean in and be part of the season that is so joyful, so happy, so many opportunities to give. Okay. And notice I didn't talk much about what we receive. I talked about how we can show up for ourselves and how we can give to others because that's how we create joy. Okay. All right. You all have a beautiful day. Enjoy, I guess Thanksgiving is next week. Happy December. Enjoy your holidays. Hit us up and ask coaches if you need any help at all, any support as you go through your holiday season. Tag us in the Facebook group. We're always around. Okay. Take good care. See you soon.